WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you are on Twitch and you happen to have your Amazon Prime and your Twitch Prime, or your Twitch account, I should say, linked up, you have this little thing called Twitch Prime. You know, you can subscribe. There's a little purple button at the top. If you'd like to subscribe here, we would very much appreciate it, but you don't have to, but please do. Makes this producer rapper happy. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, co-host, handyman, Sir Rockin. I cannot goddamn talk tonight.
Seven years.
I'm budding with excitement because it's 7 years.
7 years at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter, at WildTalkRadio.com. RockRadioShow.com, Twitch.tv/WTOLive is how you interact with us live during the podcast, the webcast, whatever you want to call it. It's The Rack 7 year show.
In 7 years, I still have not figured out how to host this show. Go me.
Go her. But hey, things are awesome. Things are exciting.
I reject the new intro most strongly. I want the old intro back. How dare you?
What?
Rude. That is rude.
What?
Don't what me. It's rude.
How is it rude?
You put that funhouse crap in there.
Yes, and?
And I reject it most strongly.
you're gonna file a complaint with the corporate offices?
I am going to totally file a complaint with the corporate offices. Someone get me Tim! I have a complaint.
At Flames Forums.
I'm being treated most wrongly and on our 7th anniversary, too. So rude.
Rude. Come on, now. It fit perfectly. So, anyway.
No.
It did.
I reject it. I demand the old intro back.
Brent says it was delightful.
Brent can suck an egg, okay?
So, Tim the Tap. Anyway. We'll get to that, Devils fan. We'll get to the AR Fox thing. We'll get to it all. Presented by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Let's get into the news like we do for 7 years.
Alrighty. So, we didn't have a lot of news this week.
Nope.
And then WWE decided to make an announcement today that gave us a huge story. So thank you. We appreciate that most sincerely. Yep. And that is this.
Jinder Mahal has signed for 5 more years.
Well, yeah, he did do that. But
Jinder,
that's not the story.
That's the big story. Jinder Mahal has signed for 5 more years. It'll be a Praise Jinder Marathon Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on WrestleTalk.
Are you done? You could. He's going to yell at you, by the way. That is a large man. Jinder is a big man. I saw him standing next to our friend, Mark Charles, and he's a rather tall man.
Yeah. Anyway, no, Jinder Mahal resigned. No, let's get to the real news. All right, go.
Okay, so the real news is that WWE probably in anticipation of the network split that's coming in the fall, has named executive directors for Raw and SmackDown. This means that they oversee all the creative and talent development on the shows. They still do answer to Vince. He has the final say on everything, but it's what's being reported and what the impression is that they will have a high level of control over the shows that hasn't been previously seen before, which is incredibly interesting. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But what makes it more interesting is who got named as these executive directors. Heading up Monday Night Raw in the fall will be the incomparable, the one, the only, the advocate for Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman. Which is, you know, everybody is saying good call on this one, because we've all seen what Paul can do. And then the second, I know some people are less happy about this than others, as you saw on Twitter this morning, is the notorious, I guess is how I want to say. I don't even know what title to give him because he's been like
the man who believes controversy creates cash. He's now back in the hot seat. Just not on Monday nights. It is the one and only Eric Bischoff.
This is an interesting pick for this. I have to say, it's a good pick. And I know people are going to disagree with me on that. But here's the thing, because we were talking about this before the show. Eric Bischoff is great in a corporate environment. He's exactly what you want. He's exactly what you need. He can schmooze with executives. He can schmooze with, you know, the corporate-y people. Whatever you need him to do. Which is, in terms of dealing with NBC, that's what you want.
Fox.
I'm sorry, Fox. Why do I keep thinking it's NBC?
Because anyway. That's from USA Network.
Okay. Yeah, in terms of schmoozing with Fox, that's what you need. Is you need somebody that can do the thing and work on a corporate level to give them what they want. Also, Bischoff, I feel like, will make the shows a little bit, in his words, grittier. Just my opinion. Than what we've seen in the past.
By terms of gritter, he means like anything can happen. Doesn't look the same as the other show. It just not like it's we're going to like older types cameras and views and everything. Everything is still going to be the best quality. It's just a different look to it. More anything can happen feel. Back in the day of the Monday Night War,
which people have been calling for here.
You all wanted the Monday Night War back. You all wanted the Attitude Era back. I mean, Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff, mainstays in that Attitude Era. Let me tell you something, brother.
Now, there's a lot to unpack with this. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So first and foremost, what this is in anticipation of is obviously the network split, which is. One show is staying on USA, one show is going to Fox. You have to be able to have people that can run and manage this. And I feel like this is an acknowledgement from WWE management all the way up to Vince McMahon that the requirements needed for this are too much for one person to handle. That's not to say that Vince couldn't do it, but with everything else on his plate, it's a lot to ask. And I'm sure he doesn't want to undertake it at this point. So by having Heyman and Bischoff sort of do the grunt work for him and he kind of is over everything, that lightens his load a little bit.
He doesn't have to travel as much now if he doesn't want to.
Because it's Fridays and Mondays now, so...
Yeah, Vince would fly out on Monday, go Monday to Tuesday, and he's back in Stanford on Wednesday. This, it's fly to the city on Friday, back wherever you gotta be, and then you gotta travel back out Monday. He doesn't want to do that.
No. So this will allow him a little bit more freedom in terms of his schedule to do what he needs to do. The other thing is they are, I don't want to say reserving people. I think that's not the right term for it, but I don't have a good term for it. Basically, they're getting people in positions where they can't be snatched up by other companies, especially as other companies start to bring TV to market.
You just look at all the producers that were signed up like 3 months ago. They're stockpiling people. They brought in a bunch of people. They brought in the Jeff Jarretts, the Abysses, the Shane Helmses of the world, the Kurt Angles of the world. Why are they in backstage positions and not going other places? Why is Paul Heyman going from being an advocate to influence on creative with some talent to now overseeing said creative structure?
Well, I feel like Heyman is a little bit different because Heyman will go wherever Brock goes, and Heyman was already locked in. Like, he wasn't going to necessarily go anywhere, but Heyman's already been kind of doing the job in terms of he's been working with specific talents on Monday Night Raw and helping them out with their storylines. Brock is generally the main one, but he's worked with a few other talents.
He worked with Ronda. He's worked with Becky Lynch. He's worked with Charlotte Flair. He's worked with Lashley. He's worked with talent to get them over, just to name a few. But continue.
Lance brings up a point, or brings up, since every creative decision still goes through him, meaning Vince, I don't see any changes to the show happening creative-wise. I just see these two people as to blame if ratings and attendance don't improve. I don't see it that way, because I think Vince still has overall creative say, so if there's something that he does not like, he can veto what they're doing. But I really do honestly believe, especially with Heyman in the mix, that Vince is going to have to give up a level of control. He's going to have to kind of go hands off on what Heyman is doing and let Heyman essentially do his job. Because Heyman has sort of done this once before. He did this with ECW way back in the day when WWE bought them. He ran that brand.
He also ran SmackDown in 2003. And that was what people call the golden age of SmackDown.
Yeah, it was. Heyman can do this, and what he's going to do with Monday Night Raw will be incredibly exciting. But the problem is he did not have that creative control, and we saw that affect the show. And that's basically what exiled Heyman from WWE the first time, was what happened with that whole situation. So I honestly feel like Heyman would not take this job because they've been after him since February to do this. Without a certain level of control being given up by Vince. I honestly believe that.
Let's talk about the role, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
They are executive directors. That's a corporate position in the company. This is not putting them on head of creative. This is an executive director, which means the board of directors had to approve this brand new position. They're now the overseers. They control the direction of Raw and SmackDown, respectively. Vince McMahon can say what he wants, give his creative input, say, I want Roman Reigns to be the top star of Monday Night Raw. Paul Heyman's like, okay, I will make that happen, boss. Let me tell the story. Vince doesn't have to come up with the stories anymore if he doesn't want to.
Guys, he probably still will.
He'll come with up stories, but it's not all on him. And at 70-something years old, he doesn't need to be the one in charge of every minute of it happening.
And I don't think he necessarily wants to travel to every show anymore. So they'll probably go over the script with him and he'll give his creative input, and then they'll either make changes or they won't. I'm sure Vince is absolutely emphatic they will do it, because it's still his company. It's like, they'll hate it. He still owns it. But
he's giving up control. The way it's phrased is he's giving up, that they're reporting to him, but they're giving up control. In regards to the brand split, as we have seen it become so wild lately with this wild card, it's going to change. This summer is going to be a lot of wild card, and everyone's going to be on every show and what have you. Come the fall, that hard split's coming. Like, they're making do with what they got. They're trying to keep everything afloat right now. But Bischoff's going to get people, Heyman's going to get people, and they're going to be told, go run with it. Because Fox doesn't want Raw 2.0, Raw B. They want SmackDown Live, and they want their stars, and they want to promote who they're going to have. Monday Night Raw is not going to want SmackDown Lite. They want Monday Night Raw. They want stars. They want things featured. My opinion, they need to do one thing. On the WWE Network, hold a draft. And not the 10-person draft we've seen, right? Or the superstar shakeup that we've seen. You know, so-and-so's jumping here and there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do the NFL draft. Do a real draft. Draft the entire roster. Make it a network special and make it something cool. That way, when you debut on Fox on October whatever, you have a brand new roster. And that, you do it, what you do is that final Raw is the last time they're all together, right? The Raw mm-hmm. before the debut on Fox. The next night or the night after, the next night, because they would already be traveling. Rent out a building, doesn't have to be a large arena, but hold a draft. Sell cheap tickets, let people come and watch. You're not selling a wrestling show, you're selling a draft. We've seen it here in Philly. You put them out in the streets, those 100,000 people will show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People love that thing. People love a draft. Run the draft. So-and-so's going here, so-and-so's going here. If the draft will, you have your Michael Coles and your Coachmans and your Renee Youngs and Corey Graves and Jerry Lawlers and whatever. Analyze the shit out of it. You know? You break it all down. You get the legends in there. Oh, this is a good move for this brand. You know what I mean? You make it a big thing. And then when you debut on Fox, here's the brand new SmackDown roster. You don't break up the tag teams because that's dumb. That's always been dumb. When they broke up the Dudley Boys, that was dumb.
That was stupid.
But you define who goes where, and this is the building block, and in 2 years, you shake it up again. You don't wait 6 months. You don't do 6 months or a year. Do it in 2 years. You shake it up again. Because you need to get consistency. And that's the only way you're going to improve things. Because if you're thinking, hey, Talent A is going to be only on this show. I'll go with the example. Bray Wyatt's going to be on Monday Night Raw every Monday night for the next 2 years. Lindsay will tune in, right?
Sure.
But you get my point. A talent.
Oh, yeah.
A talent you like, you know when he's going to be on the air. You know what time he's going to be. You know what shows he's going to be on. You'll watch that 3 hours. You'll watch that 2 hours waiting to see that talent.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Better example. Roman Reigns is going to be on SmackDown Live for the next 2 years. Are all the Roman fans going to tune in? Yeah, they are. Same thing goes for, you know, Becky Lynch being on Raw. You know, basically people will tune in for their favorite superstars, and that's what they want.
SmackDown Live is the name of the show, and that's what it'll be. It'll be SmackDown Live, to answer the man's question.
Yes. But it's not. Or is it going to be live?
It's going to be SmackDown Live Fridays.
All right.
8 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
I will be drinking then.
They bought a live show. They're going to have the live show, so the crews are going to run different schedules. They're going to run Friday to Monday for SmackDown, and the other crew works Friday and Monday, but they'll be live on Monday, however they want to work it.
So just as a note, point of interest, there may be job openings coming soon for WWE, so if anybody would like to work for them as road crew, I would highly check out their career site, because you never know what's going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah, they're changing, they've been working hard to change up everything. The travel schedules are going to be changing. Yep, everything's changing.
Once you do the hard split, I feel like the travel schedules will be a little bit less brutal, or they'll be about the same. They're actually harder now because you've got people doing shows.
That's what it means. If they don't hard split it would be brutal.
Okay.
Yeah. It would be brutal. But yeah, there are people who will see this as bad. I know the wrestlers, or one wrestler is reportedly saying Vince is still in charge, so can't get any worse. Some people are indifferent. Some people are excited.
Okay, I just want to stop right there. So, I don't know who this person is, and I have no right to render an opinion on them, but I feel like if you're that bitter about your employer, then maybe you should consider leaving. Just a thought.
And if you're just that jaded. And maybe they do, and they couldn't get the release.
That is entirely possible. That they could be waiting out their contract. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know who it is, but it's like, if you're that bitter about your job, then maybe you should, I don't know, think about leaving it, because clearly you don't want to be there, and clearly you're not contributing much personally. So, yeah. That's just, I heard that, and I was like, really?
So, this is going to be a positive for the company, because the easy answer was and has always been, just give Triple H the book. It's not that simple.
Here's the thing. This is a huge step on Vince's part, because like we keep saying, he's giving up control. He is relinquishing it to somebody outside his family, number one, which is big. It is incredibly big. And he's taking a step back from Raw and SmackDown and the live TV in general. And he's going to let them do their thing. Vince is in his 70s. I think there are a lot of questions at this point about Vince's health. While I'm sure he's fine, he's been looking less and less Vince-like, less statuesque than he has in past years. And I think a lot of what he's done is catching up with him. I think age is catching up with him a little bit. And he's taking and he's looking at, you know, the future and what he has left in terms of what he wants to do in his life. So this could be the first acknowledgement. And please don't take this as fact. This is my humble opinion that I have no right to render. And it could be that maybe Vince is looking at retiring.
He could be. So,
I mean, and if that's the case, I can tell you who's going to take over for him. And I think we all know who's going to take over for him, and that's why he's not running Raw and or SmackDown, is Hunter will get the job of being, probably will get the job of being the new Vince, essentially, and taking over the entire company. That's what they're holding a Hunter out for.
Though, it is being sort of reported, in quotations, reported, that Hunter was offered the job of SmackDown, but he turned it down because he's running another brand called NXT. So juggling NXT and SmackDown would be very difficult for him at this point in time. It really would be.
It would be a lot on him. And I respect the fact that he acknowledges that it's too much for him to take on and that, you know, he wants to focus on NXT. And that's wonderful. You know, he's doing an amazing job down there. I think he's grown as an executive. I think he's grown as a person. And you can tell. You can tell the way that he is with the NXT talent, both up on the main roster and down at the PC, that he's loving what he's doing. He's really enjoying it because he's helping to develop the future, not only of WWE, but really as of the wrestling industry as a whole. And he's leaving a lasting impact on it, which I think he really likes. I mean, he gets to be dad, right? Like he's NXT dad. Who wouldn't want to be that?
Right. Triple H has influence on 205 Live, but I think you guys got, like, Adam Pearce are really, and Steve Corino are the driving forces behind that show, realistically, for that matter. Apparently, Eric Young was producing that show now, too, so that's cool.
Good for him.
So there's that little tidbit. To wrap this whole thing up, Ash is completely wrong, because that was Vince Russo.
Hi, Ash.
Hi. You're just wrong. You may not like Bischoff, but there are facts that prove otherwise. To go back to the man's question, is it like the Triple H's role in NXT? It is exactly should be like that.
Yeah.
Vince's company, Vince has final say if he has comments, but they're dictating the direction. Because Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman would never have agreed to be executive directors if they were not given control.
Yeah, especially Paul Heyman, which I said earlier.
What's a razor fist? No one knows. Anyway, tweet me.
@ Wild Talk Radio.
Thank you.
and please submit all complaints to @ Flames Forums.
Exactly. So they would not have taken that role if they didn't have the control. Because Paul Heyman could have gone about his business and contributed to the company. He could have done that. He's given more. So that's what he's doing. Now, when this happens, because we got to move on. So to tie it all up, not happening right now. Give it a couple months to let them form their ideas, their directions, their teams. I would say SummerSlam-ish is your launch point. Headed into the fall.
Yeah, they're going to have it in place by the time that the split happens, for sure. But like Rock said, they've got to figure out what they want to do. But then again, since Heyman's been courted since February and Bischoff, they've been working on the last 2 months. One could argue that they've kind of already been formulating plans, but, they have to get their people in place and they have to, you know, they just have to do their thing, right? It's like any other job when you first take it, right? You have to figure out what your goals are, what you want to do. and what you really want to change. And going about change, especially at the beginning, you have to do it really, really delicately, because you're in a brand new job, and yes, you have all the power in the world, and yes, you can do this, and yes, you can do that, but that doesn't mean that you necessarily want to flex, as it were. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to piss off the powers that be. Like, it's still Vince's company, it's still his show, and you don't want to look at him and be like, well, everything you did wrong, you know, everything you did was wrong, old man, and I'm going to change it. Not that I think they would ever say that. But you just have to be delicate at the beginning, and you have to figure it out, because they've got a lot more on their plate than just, you know, creatively fixing the shows. They have to, you know, Bischoff, especially, he's going to Fox. So he's got a whole launch ahead of him. Whereas Heyman has a little bit easier time. Raw's already on USA. It's not going anywhere. They may do a to-do. They may not. But he has less people to impress than Eric Bischoff does. So all of that has to be managed very, very, very delicately. And that's what they're probably going to be focused on, at least for the first little bit. But again, they may be hiring. So if anybody out there would like to work for WWE, I would strongly consult their career site right now, and just keep your eyes out, because you never know what's going to show up.
There you go. Let's get into more news presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
By the way, you are listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com and on Twitch, and it is our 7-year anniversary, y'all. That's right. We've been doing this business, or should say business,
three syllables
for 7 years. It's hard to believe, but here we are. So, the other sort of big story that dropped this week, which is kind of interesting, kind of not, is WWE announced that the Evolve 10-year show is going to be appearing on the WWE Network on July 13th, the same exact day that AEW is airing Fight for the Fallen for free on Bleacher Report Live. This raised quite a lot of ire.
A little bit on a certain mainstay of All Elite Wrestling, Kenny Omega. He was not happy about this. He
tweet has since been deleted, by the way.
The tweet was there for like 40 minutes, and he was like, okay, maybe I should back off my comment. And he did, but sort of, not really.
I mean, I will say this. I'm all for speaking your beliefs and speaking your minds, but when you are a senior VP in a company...
Executive vice president, not a senior. He's an
executive. Oh, I'm sorry. EVP. I'm sorry.
Gotta get the title right. Gotta get it all right. Gotta make sure.
I got the vice president right.
You got the vice president right. You got executive vice president. They're EVPs. I mean, that's all they are.
Anyway, my point is you don't want your EVP going out there and tweeting out stuff like that, especially when you're first trying to launch a company. So the fact that the tweet got deleted is good. But PR, man. PR.
Yeah. All right. So, can I make one statement about it?
Hmm.
So, the big complaint is, oh my God, they're running head-to-head and they're sabotaging a charity show. Nope. They're not sabotaging any sort of charity show. You can watch both for free on the internet. Actually, you can't watch both for free because WWE Network costs money, but if you're a new subscriber, the first month is free, so you can get the Evolve show along with Extreme Rules, which says the same weekend. So get your subscriptions now, WWENetwork.com. The proceeds of the All Elite Fight for the Fallen show are for the Live Gate. That is how you make money to donate to charity. You are not undermining a charity by running against it 800 miles away. Are you complaining that the UFC is still running a show that night too? Are they undermining you? They're bigger. Are you scared of any other independent wrestling company that may be airing on Twitch that night? Are they undermining you too?
Okay. I'm going to chime in on this.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's real.
I know what you're just saying, but here's the flip side to that if you want to play devil's advocate.
Please do.
The flip side of that is originally when the show was announced way back in March or April, because I did look it up last night. Nobody made a fuss, because I think Fight for the Fallen got announced first, and then this one got announced. Nobody really made a fuss, because it wasn't airing anywhere. It was just going to be done, and it was the 10-year anniversary of Evolve, and everybody was very excited. WWE deciding to air it on the network and making that announcement probably about 6 weeks, 5-6 weeks before the show is going to air, That's a very, very, very interesting move, and one could argue that that was done in the spirit of competition.
Oh, it is.
It totally is. Let's not kid ourselves. So it is a competitive move, but ultimately, I don't think it's going to undermine what they're trying to do with Fight for the Fallen, because, like you said, it's live gate, right? It's not pay-per-view buys.
Because there's no pay-per-view buys.
There's no nothing. It's just they're streaming it live on the internet, and they're doing it live for the people that are in the building, and that's it. Those are the only people that are going to see it. So, I mean, if you want to watch both, you can watch the Evolve show on demand on the WWE Network after you watch AEW. There's nothing saying that you can't. Or in today's modern age, where everybody generally has multiple screens, you can have one up on an iPad or a phone, and you can have the other up on a TV or a computer, you know, or an Xbox or whatever you have, if you have those devices. Not everybody has, so just being cognizant of that. But for the people that are fortunate enough to, you can do that too. I mean, I think people are making a mountain out of a molehill with this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I really honestly do. Because everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, they're competing with AEW. They're undermining a charity show, yada, 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 yada. No, they're not. They're really, really, really not. I don't think WWE could be bothered really either way with it. It's just
Evolve's 500 fans in attendance and the 2,000 that will watch it on the network are not undermining your show.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. What does it say to you that they're putting Evolve up against you? Not NXT, not Raw, not SmackDown. No offense. Evolve. Just, yeah.
But now here's the flip side to the flip side. Congrats to Evolve for finally getting on the WWE Network. They've been working for years to get on here after their stuff with Flow Sports got destroyed and they had to regroup and rebrand themselves after that whole mess that happened. And they've been trying to stream it on their own WWN whatever club network, whatever it is. And now they have a chance to perform on the WWE Network. People like A.R. Fox and Eddie Kingston can appear on the WWE Network. You got Adam Cole versus Tozawa and Matt Riddle versus Drew Gulak, WWE stars competing on this show the day before a WWE pay-per-view. They're going to the ECW arena. It holds 500 or 1,000 people. It's not the biggest building in the world. It's for hardcore fans. Hopefully they clean it. But here, it's going to be... This is what they were doing anyhow. Is it airing on a bigger platform? Hell yeah. Guys, all those guys working on that show who busted their ass for 10 years, Gabe Sapolsky got what he wanted. He got a spot on the WWE Network. He's been working with NXT forever, and now he gets his chance to put his product, something completely different, on the network. And that's great. And anyone trying to take away from that needs to look in the mirror, because this is a great move for them, because guess what this opens up, Lindsay? Progress, wrestling, stuff like that on the network. Other indie companies WWE work with, they'll get their chance too, because this is the first step.
And that's awesome that they're going to potentially have that they're going to have either one-off shows or they're going to maybe do entire series in terms of live content on the network where they don't have to produce it themselves. I mean, think about that, where you have, you know, Progress in partnership with WWE airing a show on the network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and getting that exposure on the network, not to say that they don't get their own exposure, but this provides a much larger platform, as you said. And this gives guys, as you mentioned, you know, an opportunity that aren't with WWE to shine, to show people what they can do. You're getting an international platform that people can watch whenever they want. So, you know, hey, I wanted to see the Evolve show, but I had to go do stuff, so I missed it. I can watch it whenever I want. I can live stream it, you know, whatever I need to do. And I can watch, you know, people that I've never seen before wrestle. And that's pretty damn awesome. And the fact that opportunity can grow, that's even better. It's a positive step for WWE. Now, is it something where it's being done in the spirit of competition? Absolutely.
When you start taking your shots on your being the elite and your pay-per-views where you're smashing chairs, you don't expect retaliation? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let's be real.
Let's be real here. let's all be real. You can shoot your shots. Let them shoot theirs. It's competition. They're not hurting your live gate. You know what's hurting your live gate? Not selling tickets. Go somewhere tickets. Tickets now available. Fight for the Fallen. Go to AEW's website to find out more.
Actually, if anything, they probably did them a little bit of a favor because of all this hubbub. People are probably looking at tickets for Fight for the Fallen, so hopefully they've helped boost the ticket sales a little bit.
They announced Chris Jericho, so there you go.
There you go.
What else is in the news?
Here's hoping. Last but certainly not least, because I'm excited about this. I don't know if you're excited about it, but Miz and Mrs. will be returning for, I think, officially season 2, August 6th.
This is season 1. This is the finale of season 1.
Oh, this is a finale. This has been, like, the longest season 1 ever.
Yeah. So, remember they said they gave them 14 new episodes for season 1? We saw the first half already?
Mm-hmm.
This is the back half of that part. So, this will finish out season 1. So, it's 6-7 episodes, whatever it is. It's the back end of that season, of those 14 episodes. So that will lead into the fall, and the new episodes will begin in 2020.
Hey, can't wait.
So that would be season 2. So that's all that.
All right. So I think that does it for the news brought to you by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Let's jump into NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So, this was a good show.
It was a great show.
It opened with Keith Lee beating the crap out of somebody.
Which is awesome.
Actually, that was like the middle show. Keith Lee beat up somebody. The opener was Garza versus Wild, which is Joaquin Wild, or I can always forget the name.
Joaquin.
I don't know why I say Joaquin. Joaquin Wild, who was DJ Z from Impact fame. So, they had a hell of a match.
They had a fantastic match. I liked how they did the little introductory videos on both men.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how they sold DJ Z's story, not that they really have a hard time selling it, but that they went over his injury and what happened and what potentially could have happened. That was really well put together. Somebody lost their pants in this match.
Yeah.
Garza has a thing where he strips off his pants. I 100% approve, because of course I do. but this was an excellent, excellent match. I can't complain about this at all.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a good breakout, first match in the breakout tournament. Garza beat Wild, so there you go on that one. Kushida hype video. Damian Priest talked about his name will last forever.
Okay, I just have to say, I fully expected that voice out of that body, so thank you for making that happen. It's like you sometimes, it's like you see somebody like that, and then you hear their voice, and you're like, oh, that's awkward.
The best example of that is Loki.
Yes! Yes! Oh my god, Loki, who has like the deepest voice ever.
And you don't expect that out of that body.
You don't! Like, you really, really, really don't. Like, you see him standing there and you expect, you know, like a mid-tone, maybe tenor sort of voice, and it's like bass. It's just all bass. It's amazing.
The Street Profits and then the Forgotten Sons did battle. It ended disqualification. Riker got involved. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch got involved. So, we'll see where that goes.
I like this. I like this a lot. Street Profits, they're not over. Not at all.
No, yeah. They're not over, but
The people just weren't into... I'm kidding.
I mean, I still don't buy them. I can't get into them, but that's me.
You can tell Montez and Bianca are together because he's doing Bianca's little dance and it's so adorable.
We had a nice video package on Adam Cole about his travels, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
They took him to the UK show and... they took someone to the sandwich shop, so wonder who that was. We'll see how that goes. And then it was your main event. Holy hell, what a main event. It was Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship inside a steel cage, and holy crap, this was awesome. The best part about it to the start was Shayna wore her gloves, her MMA fighting gloves, because she was back in the cage.
There was some really fantastic storytelling in this match. there was brutality, there was physicality, there was storytelling, there was everything you could ever want. And what I think I really enjoyed about this match was honestly how blasé this was in terms of everybody being like, you know, it's a women's cage match and it's completely fine and nobody is questioning it and nobody is, you know, talking down about it. It's just, it is a women's cage match as it should be. And these two are going to kick the crap out of each other. And I love that so much that it's become women's cage matches are normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And in WWE, no less. And I love that. I really, really seriously love that, that the women's revolution has come this far. That it makes complete sense that Shayna Baszler and Io Shirai should fight in a steel cage because reasons that have entirely to do with the fact that Io Shirai did a moonsault with a chair on Shayna Baszler. I mean, it's just, I love that.
So the girls got involved, Candace got involved, but Io lost.
But she did a beautiful, and I mean beautiful, moonsault off the top of the cage.
Oh, yeah, she did. But Io had a mad, as it were.
Io was a little upset.
She blamed Candace, basically, and took out her frustrations on Candace with a chair and repeated chair shots over and over and over and over and over again. And we're now going to see heel Io.
And the people were booing her at the end, and she was saying, I don't need any friends. I don't need any friends. I'm fine. So I'm okay with this. I'm really okay with this. Let's do this.
Flat out gonna say, this was better than the men's cage match this week.
It really kind of was.
You had storytelling. You had everything you needed in this matchup. Shayna can now move on. Io can now go into a new direction. It's going to be good. Character development. All in one night. Perfect.
Hey!
Perfect.
It's like somebody thought about this.
Right?
Alrighty, so I think that does it for NXT. What do you think?
It does. I think we should take our one and only time out of the evening here on the 7-year show.
Alrighty, so when we come back, because it is a 7-year show, we have to do Tweet of the Week, because of course we do. And then we're going to be talking a little bit of SmackDown. And hey, a pay-per-view happened. A Stomping Ground happened. We have to talk about that.
Oh yeah, Stomping Ground happened.
Don't be so negative. It was fine.
It was fine. It was solid. I'm not... It happened. Things have happened. Let's just go to break.
We'll talk about it after the break. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/rackradioshow.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list. Write it down. Sparkle crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio, the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio show, sorry. All right, okay. One more time. Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm going to take four fast.
No, I don't feel so bad.
There you go.
Walking away from you. That's what I'm gonna do.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have a Twitch Prime sub available and you'd like to use it here, just click that little purple button above the video screen and we would greatly appreciate it. But if not, that's okay too. But please sub. Support us. Thank you. Love you.
If you don't, I will say, use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop over and over and over and over and over again. Even though I'll still say user code RocketSock and Fortnite item shop.
I was going to say, that's not a threat, dude. It's not going to really... You already do that constantly.
You mean I always say use code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop?
No, I
don't ever say use code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Ever?
Never.
Okay,
I'm just
saying use code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop.
So, all right, tweet week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
By the way, this is one of the only original segments that is still left on this show. However, just as a point of interest for anybody, because this is our 7-year show, by the way, brought to you by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG MBG 1211 ding. All the other original segments that we took out are still in our run sheet to this day.
They're still here.
They're still there question, in spirit.
Question of night. Ask the Magic 8-Ball. They're still here. They're still in this run sheet that still sits in here right now. We've not taken them out because one day when there aren't constant pay-per-views, we will get back to question of night.
We will. We absolutely will. And also, we're just really lazy, and we've been using the same word doc legit for 7 years.
Yep.
Not even kidding on that. We just changed the date on it.
Just changed the date and changed some, you know, sponsorships out and whatever. Pretty much, it's the same sheet.
Yep. So, just little interesting little rack factoid in case anybody cares.
It's a hashtag rack fact.
I feel like that needs a sounder.
We'll work on
it. I think you have a fact somewhere, don't you?
I do somewhere.
Anyway. Oh, you don't have it queued up?
No, I don't have it queued up.
God damn it.
It's not right on one of my fingertips. What do you want from me?
What? I want you to produce, damn it.
Is that a
fact?
Yes.
Okay.
There we go. All right. Courage JD.
Courage JD.
20,000 likes on this tweet, and we will try Minecraft this week, LOL. It hit 20,000. I meant 40,000, LOL. Scissors replies, 10,000 likes, and I grief his server. Dakota's replies, 5,000 likes, and while they are doing that, I will be down below just farming diamonds. Scissors responds, 10,000 likes, and I steal his diamonds. Or 10 likes, and I steal his diamonds.
Okay.
Jordan Fisher. Me. Y'all remember Trix Yogurt? Ninja. We stand Trix Yogurt in this house, and it is a picture of the bicolored blue and pink Trix Yogurt against Ninja's hair. Which is currently blue and pink.
I'm going to interrupt you for really quick. You want to go old school? Here we go.
My boobs are real.
There you go. Continue.
Wow.
Good old ZZ. Anyway.
Good old ZZ. Whips replies, you didn't have to do him like that. God damn. And then Whips follows it up with a picture of Jordan Fisher with blue and pink hair.
Can't pull it off, though.
Can't pull it off. Jordan is like, see, I look like freaking Bozo the Clown with this. I wish I could pull off color like that. And he does the crying emojis. Whips responds and goes, I don't know how Tyler does it, to be honest. Every color looks good somehow. And Jordan goes, genetics and great hair.
When you pay a lot of money to get it to look that way, that's why he can pull it off. It's not just some store-bought hair dye. Oh, no.
No, he gets that professionally done.
It's a professional dye job.
Because Jordan follows it up with, that somehow stays healthy, even with the bleaching. That is called product, my friend. That is a lot of conditioner and product and maintenance that goes into Ninja's hair. Like, he just doesn't wake up and look like that. I promise you, there's a lot of maintenance going on there. But it still looks fantastic, because, again, he gets it professionally done.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're considering doing that, please, please get it professionally done. Don't try to do that yourself unless you know how to do it. And even then, maybe just, you know, once or twice, go to a professional just to make sure you got that down pat. Because if you screw it up, it can have disastrous consequences. This PSA brought to you by the Rack.
Another hashtag Rack fact.
There you go.
My boobs are real.
Unintentional repeats, but hey, it worked.
Hey, it works. So, we talked about the future of WWE earlier in the show, and this tweet kind of sort of drew ire, to say the least, but I feel like it needs to be said, so I'm going to say it, and that is that I wish people would look toward the future instead of the past.
Oh my god, why are you so negative?
By Tyler Breeze, by the way.
Gorgeous.
And Twitter had a field day. He had a field day, to say the least. But yeah, this was, I feel like that's a very valid tweet, and maybe we should all think about that just a little bit. He's not being negative about the changes that were announced, but we as wrestling fans tend to look at the past more than the present.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should, I don't know, think about that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. WWE tweets out, who is the one who knocks? And it's the video of Aleister Black giving his very fiery promo in his dark little room. Xavier Woods responds, it was me seeing if he wanted to come through and play video games with us.
Okay.
Tfue, I challenged Ninja and Jessica Blevins to a 2v2 Uno wager versus me and Karina Kopp.
His girlfriend.
his girlfriend. Tifo then replies, Dr. Lupo and Mrs. Dr. Lupo are next. Dr. Lupo responds, we would body you, my child.
Make it happen.
Mrs. Dr. Lupo replies with The Rock doing the bring it hand gesture.
I need this.
I need this in my life, just as an FYI. Nate Hill, Epic is actually on a heater right now. And since this aged so well, I'm going to double down and ask, can we please have Siphon and Stretchers back?
No, don't do that. No, don't do that.
And the tweet that he's talking about is, I don't want to push our luck because they're on a roll, but can we please have the pump back? Because, in case you didn't know, just a quick Fortnite note, they brought the pump back. Praise the holy tomato on that. And Dr. Lupo responds, Nate, don't ruin what we have going right now. And Nate responds with, I also like to live dangerously from Austin Powers.
Nice.
So that's all I have.
Okay. Let's see. So Will Ospreay and Seth Rollins were having little spats on the Twitter this week.
They had a bit of a tiff.
Mr. Main Event Baron Corbin decided to chime in.
Oh no, why? Baron, no! Stay out of that.
So they were talking about how many matches they've wrestled, right? And stuff like that. Baron Corbin tweets, more important fact, Baron Corbin has wrestled more matches in 2019 than Will Ospreay. Another fact, I don't actually know who you are, I just wanted to be a part of the combo.
Baron... Honey, stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane, okay, honey?
That was a very clever tweet.
It's hilarious, but stay in your lane.
Courage JD. Lupo raised $920,000 for St. Jude this morning. Ninja is celebrating his hardworking and loving wife's birthday. Tim is having a blessed Sunday with his newborn son. I'm downloading Minecraft. Where did I go wrong?
You moved to California. That's where you went wrong, Jack.
Yeah. Becky Lynch, you can slow count, you can slap him in the face, but if you nut shot him, then expect an ass whooping. Becky Lynch. Lacey Evans, the only thing I expected was a lot more during that nut shot, sweetheart. No wonder you call yourself a man. You have no choice.
Okay, alright, I'm gonna stop you right there. That's a little unnecessary. Just a little unnecessary. I mean, come on. Alright, I hate to bring this up, but we've all seen the pictures, alright? We know what Seth's working with. And granted, it's not the most impressive thing in the world, but it's certainly not that small. there is proof. Just saying.
Okay. Drew Gulak, I am your Lord of Pain. Zack Ryder replied .net. That was the most clever response to that tweet.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well played, Zach.
Yeah. Renee Young, what if I made a cookbook of just toast or stuff on crackers? Corey Graves, terrible idea. I've already cornered that market. Grape jelly and Ritz crackers. End of conversation. Renee Young, dude, there's so much more with to work with here. I've also dabbed myself the queen of the mini sandwich. Vic Joseph can confirm. Vic Joseph, former guest of the show.
Yep. I mean, you know, she could do an entire chapter on cheese.
She could.
Just saying.
Brian Gowards, here's hoping I get the call to finally run Velocity.
Jesus.
Bray Wyatt. Dear At The Rock, I wanted you to know that I forgive you for exploiting my love for frozen pizza pockets in front of the world's largest wrestling crowd. Through therapy and the Muscle Man Dance, TM, I am all better now. P.S. Jumanji was fire. Whereas the kids say lit.
I think he actually meant to say it was lit, but...
I that's why. Okay. Anyway.
Bray, honey, your puppets are on the loose. Go round them up.
Drake Maverick. I have still yet to consummate my marriage.
The best part about that tweet is WWE retweeted it.
EC3. I just, quote-unquote, spent 2 hours doing, quote-unquote, hot yoga with your, quote-unquote, wife. I think she wants to, quote-unquote, talk. He then replied to that, the EC3. Seriously, we did yoga just trying to be a, quote-unquote, bridge between my best friend and one of the two, quote-unquote, loves of his life. Stop, quote-unquote, assuming, folks, quote-unquote, LOL.
There's a lot of quote-unquotes going on there.
I know, right? I mean, that if you hear a Seinfeld reference, yada, 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 that sounds like a lot of yada, yada, yada. Just saying. Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty, well, we have to talk about, because it happened mainly, the much lamented, much dreaded, but really quite okay show known as WWE Stomping Grounds, which occurred this past Sunday on the WWE Network. Now, there's a lot of negativity going on this show. I'm not entirely sure why everybody was crapping all over it before it ever aired, but...
Oh my god, low ticket sales! Oh my god, it's rematches! Oh my god!
Okay, So anyway, so not entirely sure.
That's why people were. That's.
Yeah, I know that's why. But anyway, this show, it was not the best thing ever. Okay, I'm going to freely admit it was not the best thing ever, but it was far from the worst. I thought this was actually really entertaining.
Show didn't drag. Show moved. It hit up. Okay, so instead of doing this match by match, we can tell you who won and who lost. You all know who won and who lost. We'll tell you the winners at some point. But the show hit a point. And it hit a point where it hit a roadblock. It just stalled out. And everyone knows what the stall out was. Because during that match, the phrase big dog was said 19 times.
Legit.
Someone on Twitter counted. They were doing a drinking game on how many times big dog was said.
Oh my god, did anybody get alcohol poisoning?
I don't know if they were actually drinking, but they were, you know what I mean. It still was a drinking game. 19 times. 19! You can't come up with another phrasing for Roman Reigns other than big dog.
Can we just stop with the phrase big dog for him altogether? Because honestly, it's especially with the way that Cole emphasizes it, it's really grating. I'm not even gonna, like, I hate to be really negative about this, but, like, I hate the way that he phrases that. I really, 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 really do. It's just like, why are we calling him that? Just, why can't we call him Roman?
Right. That should be all you need to call him. So there's that. Roman won his match. He overcame the odds. We were a little surprised by that because we kind of thought Shane was going to go over a little bit just to tell the story. But as we've seen, the story has changed with a dead man now involved.
Very, very excited about that.
So
I get my grumpy old man and I'm very happy.
Another roadblock, and it's not a roadblock, it was very underwhelming, was the cage match. Kofi and Dom.
This just didn't have the necessary oomph that it needed.
It didn't have that big fight feel.
I mean, it's you're having Dolph and Kofi fight in a cage to keep New Day away from Kofi and to give Dolph somewhat of an advantage. And I mean, it was a good match. It was actually a great match. Like, they did really, really well. Everything was spot on. And that's what you want. But there was absolutely no
big fight feel.
Big fight feel, fire to this. It was just
there.
It was average. I mean, that's the meanest thing I can say about this match was it was average. They went out there, they busted their hump, but it was there. And I mean, in terms of the main event of the show, not to talk smack, but I feel like there were stronger matches on that show that could have main evented.
Well, the main event was Rollins and Corbin. This was your semi-main.
That's the other thing.
We'll get to that in a second. Though, on the positive note, Kofi's leap was new and different.
Yeah. That could have gone. There were a couple times, especially in the Roman match, in this match, where the dive in particular could have gone really, really, really wrong. Because at one point, Roman did the leap over the top rope, and he was Shane supposed to catch him, and he just about overshot Shane. In terms of the leap. So I'm not sure if Roman overjumped or Shane wasn't in the right spot or it was just a mishap, whatever happened. I don't think anything was intentional. And then in this match, when Kofi dives through the ropes at the end to get to the floor before Dolph to win the match, and Kofi is really lucky his feet did not catch on the rope, because if they had, he would have gone face first into the ground.
Also, speaking of dives, Big E needs to stop his dive.
Please and thank you.
Owens and Zane beat New Day, by the way, after they destroyed Woods for the entire matchup. Big E got the big hot tag. It was a really fun tag match. It was New Day versus Owens and Zayn. It really was a lot of fun.
I can't complain about it. I mean, I like the pairing. I like the chemistry because you have New Day being New Day, and then you have Owens and Zayn being super, uber serious. And it's just a nice balance between the two.
Well, everyone will say Samoa Joe and Ricochet was match of the night, and it could have well been. With Ricochet becoming the new United States champion.
I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant after that.
That was a hell of a match. Great match. Hard hitting. Everything you could ever want from that match, right? New U.S. champion. My main highlight of the show was Otis versus Bryan.
Holy crap. We need that in singles. Oh my god. Otis versus Bryan. Please, somebody.
somebody within the sound of my voice, if you ever hear this, please, please, please give us Otis versus Brian. Otis kind of sort of stole the show.
And he was the heels, quote unquote, because it was Brian's backyard. So he was doing all his stuff. He was getting booed. And guess what? He owned it. He played a part of it. And Otis is a star in that ring.
He's such a character.
He's not a main eventer. He's just a star. He's a great character. He gets over. And boy, I want to see him and Brian one-on-one just for the fun.
Also, we had the best chant of the night in this match, which was drive a Prius.
Please recycle and drive a Prius.
Very, very creative chants on behalf of the WWE Universe. Very proud.
They got into it, which was great. I love this match because Tucker went out there and he tried to make a name for himself, and by golly, he did.
Heavy Machinery had an incredible showing and did very, very well for themselves, and Brian and Rowan certainly helped them with that. No question at all, but yeah, Tucker and Otis showed up Sunday night in a big, big way, like you would, because they're both very big guys.
They're heavy guys.
They're as the kids say, thick.
They're the wrestling girthquake.
But yeah, Otis has a presence to him. He has a natural charisma to him. He is just entertaining as all hell to watch. Like you said, he's not a main eventer. I will cry when they turn him heel and they make him uber serious, because it's just like, no, please don't do that.
That's not him.
That's not him at all. He's just this goofy, lovable guy. But I don't want to pigeonhole him. But yeah, this was everything you could want.
Big shout outs to Drew Gulak for winning the Cruiserweight Championship on the
pre-show. Go Drew!
On the pre-show. Big shout outs to him. All right, there's two women's matches on the show. Where do you want to start?
Let's unpack SmackDown first.
All right, SmackDown Women's Championship, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, and go.
This was a hell of a match.
Enjoyable.
This was very enjoyable. Bayley and Alexa have all kinds of chemistry going on in this. There's the appropriate amount of heat in this based on what you've done. You had a nice outside presence from Nikki Cross, and she did at one point get involved in this match where Bayley went for a dive and Alexa actually pushes subtly Nikki Cross in front of Bayley, saving herself. Well, Nikki gets knocked out. She takes exception to that and she ends up costing Alexa the match because she was trying to get at Bayley, which is kind of interesting. So it's like, this is, and I like the subtleties between Alexa and Nikki. And like I said on Monday night, I'm really sort of hoping that this whole Nikki thing is Nikki is playing Alexa and she's using Alexa. And when she's done with her, she's going to double cross her kind of in a twist. Because Alexa's normally the one that turns. This time you have Nikki screw her.
Possible. And then there was the Raw Women's Championship, Becky and Lacey. I liked this match. Was it a little sloppy at some points? Yeah. But it was physical. It was really good.
Oh god, they beat the tar out of each other.
Like, did Lacey miss a spot? Yeah. But guess what? The men miss spots all the time. It happens.
Here's the thing about Lacey Evans. Lacey is in that awkward period where she's just been called up from NXT. She's learning, while the style is similar in NXT, it's a little bit different. And she's also trying to learn out Becky Lynch. All that being said, you know, did she have some snafus? Yes. But she's still actively learning. Let's see where she is in a year. Alright, give her a chance to get settled, to get used to working with all the girls, and see where she is.
Does she need better timing? Yeah, but guess what? Gotta wrestle to get timing. And she's on the main stage, she's getting the timing, but her character's over, and that's all that matters. They told a hell of a story. I like the reverse rag spot they put in there, where Becky used it as the mandible claw on her. It's a nice return of the favor on that one. I liked everything about this. Becky retained her title. This was really good.
They just beat the tar out of each other. I mean, it was just awesome.
And then you had your main event. Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin with Lacey Evans as your special guest referee.
Okay, I love the hell out of the Baron-Lacey pairing. I know I said it on Monday night, but this works. Everything about Baron and Lacey together works because they balance each other out and they give the other what they need to shine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I love the hell out of this so much. Like, I don't think people realize, like, I love this for all the things. And I hope they continue it and I hope they do more with it because it's the most entertaining Baron Corbin has been in quite a while, and it's helping Lacey. So I can't complain about that. But yeah, also very interesting pick on the ref because number one, Seth can't beat her with a chair. And two, you know, she's not exactly going to be nice to Seth because, well, Seth is Becky's man.
Was this a 5-star classic? No. Was it meant to be? No.
No.
Did it serve its purpose? Yes. Was it a great main event? No. Did it go on too long? Yes. We're all aware of those facts. These are all the things that happened.
But there was a story being told in this.
There was a story being told. We had she had the power. She made the match no count outs after Baron was put through a table and was almost counted out. She changed the rules to make it no disqualification after he started using a chair. She abused her power. It worked. Told the story they were trying to tell. It all worked. Becky coming out, saving her man. That worked. Baron losing told the story it needed to tell, and that's where it ended up. It told the right stories.
Also, I would like to say that it was in this moment where Becky Lynch came out and saved Seth Rollins, and he looked at her absolutely adoringly, that confirms Seth Rollins is in fact a bottom, and Becky Lynch runs this relationship. Just saying, y'all. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. It's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely adorable, but it's ridiculous.
So, that's where we stand on that. It was an enjoyable show. Was it a 5-star show? No. But it was better than some of the other shows we've seen, especially last year. A lot of shows, the B-level shows, were really bad.
This was a fine tweener show. There was nothing wrong with it from that perspective. And, I mean, here's the thing. It wasn't meant to be a barn burner of a show. I think WWE would have liked it if that was the case. I think they would like it if every show they did was a barn burner. But this was fine. There was nothing wrong with this. Like you said, it's a good tweener pay-per-view. It's a really good tweener pay-per-view on the road to SummerSlam.
So, you went 6-3. 8-Ball went 5-4. I went 7-2.
Did I pick Drew Gulak?
Maybe?
I thought I did.
Maybe. This is where someone's stalling for the thing to open, because I only had the totals in an email. I have to open up the spreadsheet to find out. So, hold on a second. It's loading. It's thinking. Okay, so you had Nice.
Ah, okay.
We both had Nice. We both made the argument for Gulak.
Yeah, I remember that. And then ultimately, it's like, no, they'll keep it on Tony Nice. They actually changed more titles than I thought they would on Sunday.
They changed 2 titles on Sunday.
It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Devil's Fan says, use Alexa again after Bayley. Give people like Liv, Mickey, and others chances. I would agree that more girls need chances on the shows, and I feel like once we do the network split, that's going
to
happen.
What he's referring to is Bayley did a promo after the fact where she called out Liv Morgan, she called out Mandy and Sonya, and, you know, she's willing to give them all opportunities as well. That's what he's referring to. That was the promo Bayley did cut.
And we'll probably see that at some point.
Yep, but not right now because they have 3 weeks to Extreme Rules.
Yeah. So I think that does it for us. What do you think?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, right. SmackDown. Right.
Welcome everyone to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
The best in the world.
Still not though. We're still here.
I tried, y'all. I tried. By the way, we will be doing Fortnite with friends after this. We just have to get through SmackDown first. So,
A few things,
like I said earlier, because I want to get out of the way. Bray's puppets have been running rampant all over Raw and SmackDown. Monday was Spot the Puppet. Tuesday it continued. Wildcard rule does not apply. Where we saw Huskus and the rabbit appear in the background of backstage segments. So that's a good way to incorporate them in. So we've seen everybody but Devil Vince, which leads me to believe that maybe Bray's going to show up
sooner
very, very soon, probably maybe Monday or Tuesday to start
building towards Extreme Rules. If he doesn't show up at Extreme Rules, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I still like the puppets lurking.
Yeah, and continue to have them lurk. They've all now entered the universe. Let them sort of have some reign for freedom.
Yep, fine with that.
This show was about a night of many falls. Like, 2 out of 3 falls matches. Like, Miz and Elias was 2 out of 3 falls, and Dolph and Kofi was a 2 out of 3 falls. they're trying. Dolph falls short. He didn't get his title shot back. So, that happened. Shane bested the Miz again, not allowing him to get a shot at him again in those situations.
But Nikki Cross got a shot at Bayley.
And got Alexa another title shot.
Go her. She's such a good friend.
Mm-hmm. Because Alexa was off in Singapore with the WWE crew for their live event. And yeah, so there you go.
And last but certainly not least, Mandy and Sonya, could they be a thing?
You pointed that out. It's like, are they going in that direction? Is that what they're going to do?
There was a little flirtation going on. I think it was harmless and innocent, but there's a little flirtation going on Sonya's part with Mandy, and some affectionate sort of gestures. So yeah. Could be they're going to be in a romantic storyline, or it could just be that they're going to do their thing. I don't know, but
we'll see.
There you go.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. That's SmackDown in a nutshell. Stories advance, but there's really not much to really discuss.
Yeah, it's kind of the fallout from Stomping Grounds and then moving it forward and then trying to build towards Extreme Rules. So that's where we're at with it. But it was still good. Still entertaining.
Yeah, enjoyable. But now we're done.
Now we're done. All right, you have plugs, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight is another edition of CB Radio, the Grand and Great Debate's National Anthems. Go back and listen to our episode on Summer Blockbusters, 79-89, and now available at CBRadioLive.com. Sunday, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Wonder what they'll talk about. Who knows? Tune in. Find out. Monday, it's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Programming note. We're not on the air live for the next 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Live.
Oh, right, yeah.
Live.
Live.
There will
be
no show on the 4th. We're not here. We may do Fortnite. We'll see. But we're not here. There will be no podcast. The week after, we'll have the podcast of the preview for Extreme Rules. That's how this is working. So the show will not be live for 2 weeks. Sorry, it happens. She's traveling. Work and stuff.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation next week for 4th of July because it's my dad's birthday, and then I have to travel for work the week after. So we decided that, you know, it's 4th of July, we're going to take the night off, and then, yeah, week after, we will do a recorded podcast for you.
Don't worry, I'll be giving you content no matter what, because there'll be other shows to talk about, and I'll probably wrangle up some folks for something not so live on CB Radio. So there'll be content, wrestling content coming your way. It's all coming.
Devils fan, I don't know if they'll do that. His comments, by the way, before we close out the show is, I call the puppets, will show up with a Kevin and Sammy segment and a Shane segment. Probably. They could. But I don't know.
At Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. As Lindsay has mentioned throughout the show, if you have an Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can then subscribe to the channel for free by clicking that purple rectangular button above the screen, because it's a thing. Do it. Awesome. Thank you for tweeting this show when we're ending. Awesome. Thank you for all the support over 7 years. Make sure you use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. But yes, a big thank you for everyone who supported the show. You've listened to it once, twice, 10 times, 1,000 times. It doesn't matter. Thank you
every
for
week. Every truers week. In the chat. Every
and
week.
Truers in chat. We appreciate anyone who's ever listened to this show over the course of the 7 years, because we like interacting with you. We like that you keep coming back, giving us stuff to talk about. We like giving our opinions and sharing them with all of you. So we appreciate all of you for supporting the show for the last 7 years and beyond, because this train's not stopping anytime soon.
Nope. We're going to keep going. Sorry, y'all. So yes, it just... Ditto on everything he said. Thank you everyone for listening, for downloading, for supporting us, for being in chat, for tweeting us, all the things. You have no idea how much it means to me and to Rock that you guys listen and you like the show and you support the show. because I know we say this every time we have an anniversary, but we really do this just purely for fun. We do not get paid to do this, so it's always nice when people appreciate what you do. So thank you very, very, very much for all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Hold on. By the way, one more thing. Hmm. And just because it's 7 years, I always have surprises, and surprises could be coming down the line, so stay tuned.
Yes, stay tuned. By the way, since it is the 7-year anniversary, where the hell is my Bray Wyatt
interview?
This has
been another edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk
Network. No,
make sure you follow YouTube.com.
Where is it? Where is my Bray Wyatt interview and where is my Undertaker interview? It is the 7-year anniversary of this show. Where are they?
This show has been presented by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsayWard, LNSWARD.
And most of the other social medias. You see how he avoids it? Like, he just straight up avoids the question.
So for
you
Lindsay,
see that, y'all? You see that?
So for Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you in 2 weeks live, but one more week in a podcast live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right? Right? Right?
Right. No, Brent. Husky is at the same place that Generico is.
Locked up somewhere. But everyone.
Locked up. They're helping orphan kids.
Everyone. Start dancing. We'll see you with Fortnite and friends coming up in just like a minute or two. Say goodbye.
Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.